Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. Another episode of The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies is in the book. We are in November, which means we are getting closer and closer to the end of this season. Some may say that's a good thing. Maybe some will say that's a bad thing. I don't know. Very excited for this week's episode recap, as my co-host Brian Scally and I will not be recapping the episode. But as I teased on Twitter, we will be reading through all of Amanda Garcia's tweets. Scally, are you ready for that today?
Hello. I am ready to listen to your oral retelling of Amanda's tweets. I'm sure she has deleted at least once, so I'm very excited. I had my breakfast of losers, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, man. even though that's not the actual plan of the day, I do plan to pull her tweets up at some point and comb through them. But what I'm more excited for today is the fact that we are doing the world a favor and continuing Casual Anna Week on the Dom and Colin podcast, something that we have not even run by Colin. He will find out about this as soon as we send him this podcast. Welcome back to the network for the second time this week. Anna, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Really good week for me. I'm excited to be on both shows. Bad week if you're not into me, but sorry, I don't know. And I don't have Twitter, so you guys are going to have to tell me all about these tweets.
Yes, there's a lot of them, but no, very excited to have you here. I mean, it's always a joy to hear you talk Survivor with Colin over on the Survivor portion of this feed. But we've talked to you before on the Challenge recap, and we know you're also a Challenge fan, so this will be exciting.
I'm excited.
So, Scally, where do we start here? Just some general thoughts from our casual perspective over here.
Yeah, I'm curious. I want to know who Anna is liking on this season. How are you liking the season, I guess, as a whole, coming?
I'm liking it. I, like, love any season of The Challenge that I get. I will say, like, I went to Greece in September. So, like, European men and I are, like, really having a moment. So, like, Logan and Emmanuel, I'm so on board. It's, like, out of control. So that's really... that's driving me to my TV every Wednesday night.
I was going to ask because I feel like the guys you usually thirst over are not on this season.
I think I'm changing my type. I guess I've just decided, like, when it comes to European, it's like basically give me everything I wouldn't like in an American man, like some really bad tattoos, nose piercings, that kind of stuff. And like, I'm fully into it.
So it hits different with an accent.
It sure does.
Am I remembering correctly, Anna, that Zach is one of your all-time crushes?
Oh, no.
I mean, I really do love Zach. Okay, like, I'm speaking, like, purely physically.
Right. No, I get it. No one's judging you, except Scally.
Yeah, no. See, here's the thing is, like, I judge myself. Like, I will say, like, this has been a problem for me in real life. So, like, my TV types are not great.
Okay, but, so the big question here that I need to get to then is, and we can all answer it, a classic FMK of Logan, Emmanuel, and Zach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I think I have to kill Zach. I'll marry... Oh, man, guys.
This one's easy. Pretty easy.
Same.
We're all killing Zach, so that's good.
For the good of humanity, you kill Zach.
But now apparently he's reproduced, hasn't he?
Yes. We have to talk about that.
We're all very sad.
So here's the thing. Marrying Emmanuel, I think, like, would be fun. Like, he would keep you entertained forever. So, like, there's that. But I also feel like he might, like, not be the most faithful man on the planet. But, I mean, I don't know if how much that matters to me.
I don't know what gives you that impression.
I think I'll marry Emmanuel, but can I F Logan multiple times, or is it like just a one time thing?
I feel like it's a one time thing when you do this exercise.
Oh, okay. Well, then no. Then I want to marry Logan.
Okay.
Where are you guys?
I'm definitely marrying Emmanuel, and you know, going at it with Logan.
Yeah, that's the same answer. I feel like Emmanuel's more fun. Like, we can enjoy our open relationship.
Have you guys seen him dance? I just found out today that he, like, dances. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I was definitely, I don't know if you saw that same Instagram video he posted last night or this morning. It was one of those videos. Yeah, it gets like when somebody's, like, video gets stuck at, like, the top of your feed for, like, hours and you just don't see anything else. That was that.
Oh, yeah, mine was stuck. on my feed for sure.
Yeah, guys, that'll happen if you don't scroll down and just keep watching it. It'll stay there.
Well, yeah,
Well,
but
you should go watch it because it's incredible. Honestly, that video alone should be enough to get Colin on Instagram.
I don't know what that's going to take. But yeah, the guy can move. I guess, I don't think we actually got here yet. But Anna, overall thoughts in this season? How have you been enjoying it so far? A, what do you think of the season's name? And B, how is, again, just overall thoughts that you've observed?
I would never remember the name if they didn't somehow get Nelson to say it in a confessional every week, which is hilarious. I like it. Obviously, I wish that more rookies could have stuck around for a little bit longer, but I've been enjoying it. It's been kind of fun how they've changed it up. So now we're in these teams of three. I'm not sure that they're like running the challenges in a way that makes the most sense for that, but it's fine.
What do you make
So,
of
yeah.
what did you make of the Survivor rookies that obviously the name
Oh.
Casual Anna came from a casual love of Survivor? What did you make of Michelle, Tommy, and Michaela?
Had no memory of Tommy or Michaela, but loved Michelle and enjoyed Tommy and Michaela fine on the season. But Michelle needs to, I hope she's going to come back. Do
Yeah.
we think she's coming back?
Yes.
Yeah, I would
Okay,
bet on
good.
it. I would say
Wait,
she's
she made out with
definitely.
Emmanuel too, didn't she? The girl has great taste.
Yeah,
Love
maybe
it.
that's where you got your not the most faithful, considering he jumped from one to
Right.
another very quickly.
That's right. Oh my
Yeah.
God, he's so fun.
Yeah, certainly do feel like Michelle will be back. And Scally, anything
Right.
else before we dive into this episode?
I was just going to say, if Anna, did you think any other rookies stood out as far as someone that you'd want to see back again that may not be still on the show?
I liked Esther
Not
and
the name I was expecting,
Camilla.
but not bad.
I mean, he's not a rookie, and this is unpopular for sure, but like I'm sad that Fessy is gone so early.
There we go. I don't disagree, so it's fine.
He's so cute too,
Oh my
and he likes to
God.
make out with everybody too. Like, that's my thing. Like the last couple seasons of the challenge, I feel like we haven't been getting like the making out or the like fixing of the plumbing in the bathroom like we did on this episode. And those are things that I love about the challenge. So we need the Fessies and the Emmanuels there to help facilitate.
Yeah, I would definitely say this is the horniest season in a while. So I think it's been good. They've reverted back to actually showing the hookups on the show.
Thank
Yes.
goodness.
Well, and let's get to that. We'll get there in a second. Of course, there's a lot to get to from this opening part of the episode before we get to the challenge. So let's kind of start at the beginning and work our way down. Scally, after last week, we saw that Emmy did find her way over to CT's team. She's very excited about this because CT's like an idol for her, just like Lady Gaga is. So somehow I feel I relate to Emmy in this moment, which is kind of going to draw the line there for how I'm relating to Emmy lately. But yeah, that's how we leave off, coming off the back of last week.
It's an interesting comparison. I don't know that I would have made it myself. Can you come up with anything that CT and Lady Gaga have in common?
Both are really good at what they do.
Well, okay, there we go. That's about it.
And do we
That's
want
kind
to
of.
because I feel like Emmy's not going to come up a whole lot in this episode, so do we want to get this part of the recap in here now? I know we have an Emmy update.
Well, and also, do we know who does her braids? Has it been bothering anybody else that she wears her braids on the side of her head as opposed to like more towards the back?
It's something I've definitely noticed. I don't know who does them
I'm
personally.
just wondering if it was intentional or not.
It's probably her uncle CT. I mean, the only family member she has out there that, she's close enough with.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Emmy, not great. Some not great things from Emmy outside of the show. A video popped up on Reddit where Emmy is performing on a Romanian talent competition from I don't know how many years ago, where Emmy is rapping a song that has the N-word in it. So that was bad. Obviously, completely condemned that. There's been a whole lot of discussion on the Reddit thread of thoughts on it and why it may or may not be different than someone else on the show having a similar video surface, but that's not for us to really weigh in on and make any decision. That will be, I don't know why she has not seemingly put out an apology or statement yet. That is definitely a question, especially the point has been raised. Emmy is someone who is pursuing a career in rap, so probably should educate herself on Black culture before going ahead and profiting and benefiting from it. So yeah, not great. It's overall bad, but I don't think it's gonna have her banned from the show if I had to guess here.
Yeah, Emmy's been quite a enigma on this show, and let me turn to Anna as well for the casual perspective on Emmy through this many episodes in the season.
I mean, I've enjoyed Emmy on the show. I think that she's funny and bizarre and just entertaining, but yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, Anna, do
it's
you know
2021, so it seems like get your shit together. I don't know.
And do you know that there's a season of the Challenge All-Stars filming right now where Jordan, Tori's ex, Jordan, is back on the cast?
I only know that because Scally told me that recently.
like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, while I was having internet issues.
Yep.
I also didn't know, like, Jordan. I knew that Jordan, like, isn't very nice, but I didn't know some of the history of, like, Jordan's behavior. That sucks. I don't really know why he needs to come back.
Right. So all that to say just that that's just kind of where I'm at with the Emmy thing of just, I feel like as far as like her prospects of like being a returning person on this show go, if Jordan's allowed back at this point, if a couple other people as well that have been kind of popping up in the casting pool, both making it onto the show or just getting calls back, it does feel like they're not going to make a whole lot out of this Emmy situation and you know, ban her from the show. So I don't know that there will be any repercussions on her end. And like you said, Scally, it's weird that she hasn't said a single thing, any kind of apology. Like, where are you?
It's really weird because I kind of assumed, all right, well, Huey won't be back. But Huey was at the reunion filming when many other people were not even asked. So, like, why are we asking Huey and not asking people that are just as interesting and don't have really problematic posts in their past? So the fact that Huey was still contacted for that, the fact that Jordan and Naya and Wes and a few other people, you know, to varying levels, were all asked for All-Stars 3 really makes me question, given how much investment they put in Emmy this season, that they will decide to take any action. I feel like a lot of networks, like an MTV, like a Bravo, like a few others, have kind of wavered back a little bit on how strict they're being with their contestants or cast members past. So it's not great. Again, I need some type of statement, apology, something to be put out there as soon as possible because it's bad.
Yeah, so we'll keep everybody updated on that if there is anything like that in the future. It doesn't seem like there is right now, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. But to bounce back to the episode, we're going to start this episode off with, since Amanda has now switched teams with Emmy, she, a big theme of this episode, you know, I kind of asked for more Amanda content and they gave it to me in a way that both I did enjoy and hate to see, because it seems like all of the women that I like on this show, all the people that I stand the most, are constantly the ones that are being put down by all of the other competitors on the show. Big T, Amanda, Ashley. So it's Amanda's turn this week, where we're going to get confessionals about how Amanda's toxic and she doesn't take the challenge seriously. Corey says that she's never made a final. She doesn't win anything. Scally, what did you make of their assessment? Obviously, like, we know that these confessionals are taped after all of the events have unfolded, but what do you make of the way that Amanda's being presented here, of somebody who just doesn't care about the challenge? If you could or couldn't tell, I don't agree.
Okay, well, actually, I'm almost more curious to get Anna's perspective first, because I feel like Amanda hasn't been on in a little while. Did you, when you saw her pop up here, did you have a strong opinion or memory of Amanda, and what are your thoughts on her so far this season?
Well, I obviously remember Amanda because of Zach. But, pretty. I think she's, like, stunningly beautiful. I always find her entertaining. And then I was very confused about, like, what a hard time she was getting, especially during the challenge, when I kind of thought they told her not to do anything. So, but all the boys on the team really don't like her. And since my new boyfriend Logan doesn't like her, like, I feel like I can't like her either.
So, I don't know. I like Amanda, in general, you know, few things aside, but I was a little confused. I think that she probably doesn't take it as seriously as someone like a Casey or a Tori, who is like constantly training for the challenge. But Amanda's a mom, like trauma nurse
and
on
nurse.
The outside,
yeah.
Right? Like
during a pandemic, like,
yeah,
kind of busy.
Like maybe she has other things to be doing than training for the challenge that she probably didn't expect to be back on. So like, is she taking every single daily challenge as seriously as everyone else? Maybe not, but I don't think that she like gives two shits and like it like doesn't give two shits and is just like joking around, doesn't care about anything on the show.
It's just that Corey, Nelson, and Amanda have the exact same number of challenge wins, okay? Like, Amanda has made zero finals while the boys have made a couple each. And Corey and Nelson, when did you win those finals? So, like, I get what they're saying, but what's the difference? So, shut up. And as far as, like, doesn't take the challenge seriously, Nelson in particular, my friend, when's the last time you won a daily challenge? Amanda has probably won, like, at least three. I'm totally guessing challenges in that time since the last time that Nelson has won a challenge. We are up to week challenge 47 since the last time that Nelson's won a challenge. So I don't know what he's getting at there, but again, not gonna sit be agreeing. So that's all I got there.
Nelson is like wildly like annoying and boring this season, right? Like I mean, I guess he's kind of always like that.
Have a hard time disagreeing.
So cute, but like very annoying.
I'm so back and forth. I feel like I used to be pretty anti-Nelson. I have admittedly fallen for this, like, nice guy edit that he's gotten the past couple seasons. I feel like there is a little bit of editing around things. Like, for example, at the deliberation where he's like, sorry, I really lost it on Amanda and Big T. And it's like, well, we didn't see any of him yelling at Big T. So I feel like stuff like that is left out of the show. And it's just there's only so many times where, like, he gets in an argument with Kyle, he gets in an argument with Amanda and Big T, it's just like, all right, I'm kind of bored at that point.
Yeah.
And he's so bad in confessional.
Holding
a cue card or something, like, it's so bad.
It's bad to the point of being good for me personally, but like, I do laugh at them.
Like, a lot of my favorite players on the challenge are players who Big T later describes Nelson saying that, you know, he's a very emotional player, which is fully fair. A lot of these a lot of these players are emotional players or emotional people on these shows in general. How could you not be? But like when a lot of them go into the confessional booth, if they're feeling something, you can kind of feel the authenticity behind it. Nelson, it almost feels like he's like checked out of whatever he was feeling and then remembers that he has to, like, you know, reiterate the way that he was feeling about it. And then it's like a whole acting performance that I almost feel like I'm getting in there. So it's just, I mean, it's Nelson in the confessional has always been something that, you know, everybody's paid attention to. So nothing new there, but I don't know. So,
oh man.
Let's talk about the Emmanuel segment that comes up next, because I'm sure Anna has a lot on this one. It starts with CT, who's cooking up some dinner or whatever they were eating. Maybe it was lunchtime. And Emmanuel talks about how, you know, some of his traditions back home are a little different. And we get this picture of Emmanuel sitting on a pig back at home, which, like he says, is just normal tradition for them. And then, you know, we take this personal content that he's getting and turn it into a different kind of content as we follow him into the bathroom where he is met up with one Tori deal, Anna.
I mean he was naked and she was fully clothed. It was amazing. I loved it. I want details. Like, I understand, like, I'm
here are the
and,
details,
like, I won't get any.
Anna. This,
like,
is why this is them? Why you come here. On the challenge podcast that Tori does with Anissa, she mentioned that she had just pulled her pants back up when she saw the camera coming. So there's your details.
I love it. I'm good for you, Tori. Like, why not? I mean, I'm not really a Tori fan, but I can't hate. I get it. Like, I would I would take my pants down, too. I don't know.
If only there were episode titles in this world.
Make my drain.
I don't know if I needed a manual using the making the drain line. That was a lot.
I loved it. I loved it.
Just the and way that, like...
Yeah.
The way that the camera's like there, you know, over the two of them, and Tori's like, oh, you know, we were just fixing the plumbing, huh? And then like Emmanuel standing there fully naked, like the camera is like, might as well just zoom in on the mirror behind them, as the two of them are just standing there.
Doing it was... the Lord's work. I appreciate it.
See, it was weird because I feel like we hear so much about how much hooking up goes on in the bathroom that we may not be privy to and like doesn't make the show, and I'm like, well, I don't want to miss out on the draw, like the drama and the hookups, but then at the same time the camera crew is rushing in while Tori and Emmanuel have their pants down in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, this feels really invasive. Like, I don't feel comfortable being in the room for this.
Well, didn't it start because of Big T kind of walking over there and the camera was kind of following her, and then she was like, oops, sorry, and then the camera was like, oh, we're going in.
Like, I mean, I don't, Emmanuel didn't seem to care at all. So, God bless him.
I think Tori was saying either in the after show, I think it was on the after show, where they continued to, you know, give her a hard time about it. And, you know, she was taking it, you know, with a lot of laughs. She was saying that, like, after Emmanuel had been doing drag, like, the week before, and he was, like, strutting around the house, like, showing off, she was, like, or at least Nani was saying, like, that's when it clicked, that, like, the way that Tori was looking at him, that, he, like, she was like, oh, she likes him. Like, she's really into this.
Look, there is something just very sexy about a man who's very confident in his sexuality, down to do whatever he wants, and will stand in front of the cameraman naked. I love it.
So that's where we are at with those two. On the other side of the house, we have a catch up with Josh and Logan, Scally, where we're going to get a conversation not in the English language, which is always a fun time, you know, when you get to see people speaking a different language on these shows.
Yeah, did Josh just get hot, like, when he started speaking Spanish? Or, like, was that just me? I was like, what's happening? Like, am I attracted to Josh?
So
I
that's
think
so...
the answer is no, but, like, we got a lot closer.
Closer than we've ever been.
This scene was good for me. I really liked getting the perspective on the show directly about how much harder it is for someone coming onto the show with English as their second or third language. I feel like it has been something that's not really talked about a ton ever since, like, War of the Worlds 1, where we've been having more international competitors. And this is not something that's exclusive to Logan. Like, I'm sure that... Emmy and Manuel, I don't think that English was their first language, and a few other people from this season, but it's nice to see that it's actually making it onto the main show.
Mm-hmm. The connection between these two guys is, I think it's been highlighted a couple times throughout the season, and we're seeing it kind of reaffirmed here from Josh, who is also a pretty big player in this episode, talking about, you know, how close he is to the end, and he, you know, as we've been flagging up, is in a really good spot in the game, so that's, you know, good for him. And Anna, if Josh is going to win a lot of money here and maybe, you know, looking for a lover, Anna could be an option for that. Logan...
Logan's... Only then he'll introduce me to Logan.
There you go. Logan and him too seem to be pretty tight here. So, you know, no surprise. Like,
if
that
that's my entry point, I'll take it.
As this episode goes on, Josh is going to be protecting him. So, you know, we'll see. And they want to go on vacation together after the game ends, no matter what happens. So, again, maybe they will invite Anna and everybody will be happy.
Yeah, this is a good relationship. I like seeing really any of the rookies' relationships developing in the show, let alone with a vet that I feel like could pay dividends in the future. I thought that it was good character work for Logan, where I feel like a lot of us thought he was a little boring. Like, yes, a very attractive man, but a little boring at times. And I think that this helped flesh him out as a full-grown human on the show.
Yeah. For sure. And, you know, a couple times throughout this episode, even when he's saying things that are about Amanda that I don't like, it's at least nice to hear his perspective, because he has been quieter in the game and we're getting towards the end of it. You know, to cut ahead all the way to the end, winning another elimination. Like, I want to know more about this guy. So, glad that we got that. So, Anna, what did you make of one of the upcoming scenes where we're going to see a certain challenger being shamed for her breakfast choice?
I was watching the show this morning while eating a like peppermint mocha from Starbucks and a cake pop for breakfast. So I felt like Big T and I will go on great.
Did Corey show up and smack it out of your hands?
I wish.
See, the worst thing about this, did she have a bowl full of donuts and watermelon together? Like, what was that combo?
I just liked that she picked it up off the floor at the end to eat.
Yeah, that was not, this wasn't cool. Josh and Tori started it off, and then Corey showed up, and they're just like chanting at her, breakfast of losers, breakfast. And it's like, okay, get out of her face, you idiots. Like, what are you doing? Look, I'm happy that Big T is happy with her flamingo floaty in the pool, eating her donuts, getting her workouts in when she wants to get her workouts in. And she makes a comment. She's like, I wish that people recognized more that, like, I am, you know, putting in a lot of effort. Just because I had a freaking donut, like, doesn't mean anything. But, you know, nobody continues to give her credit except for this podcast. So that's just life. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? At least Big T wasn't being called the weakest girl in the house anymore. That title went to Amanda for one episode.
And I hate all of it. So, yeah. And also, again, irony of a couple seasons ago, Corey getting food knocked out of his hands and he body slammed a man in order to feel better about it. And now he's slamming food out of Big T's hands. And I wish she would have body slammed him, but I don't know that she would have been able to. So,
yeah, I don't know. I would say
the challenge works.
Is that growth or progress? No,
it's just Corey becoming the person he hates the most.
I don't really have a lot of nice things to say. I mean, Corey's very handsome, but that's kind of where the good news stops.
on the after show, he had a bit where at the very end, I would assume this is going to be his last after show because he's no longer on the show. And he was like, oh yeah, by the way, Taylor's pregnant. And everyone was like, oh my God. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. It's like, that wasn't even funny. Like,
yeah. I mean, he's not funny. He's not interesting, but he's got great shoulders. So like, we'll give him that.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely. You know, thumbs up on the waist up. So, well, actually, the waist down too. Anna will talk.
I was like, what's going on below the waist? What do you know?
There with the glass.
Well, from the waist down, it's like super powerful down there, as you can see from his pictures that he kisses all the time. You know what I mean? Lots of.
I feel like my presence has really taken this podcast off the rails.
No, this is what it's like every week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, like maybe thigh up. I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, let's talk about the challenge, Scally.
Oh, the challenge. What an exciting one. No, just kidding. Sunken intelligence, where they have to, as a team, untangle some super heavy ropes and then drag a chest holding a diamond into the shore. Not super exciting for me personally. What'd you think?
I don't know. What did you think, Anna?
I think I had no idea what was happening the entire time until it was over. And I was like, oh, like they got the chest and the rope. So I don't know. I really don't think it would be easy. It looked hard, but it was not a great like visual experience, I guess.
Especially when, to go back off of last week's points and probably the points everybody's making watching, this is when you have four people versus six. It doesn't make any sense. There's a reason Survivor sits out people when they have more people on one tribe than another. It doesn't make any sense.
No,
Yeah.
Have they said anything about that? Like,
no. They're just like,
it makes no sense.
They're just like, all right, it's time to compete. Here you go. You teams suck. Emerald's literally just winning every challenge. I mean, they have won every challenge and they're going to win every challenge until whenever it is that challenges stop in this format of whatever. So Yeah. It's kind of boring no matter what the challenge is when you just know what the result is going to be before it starts. They tried at the end to be like, oh, Ruby and Emerald were both really close and did really well. And it came down to seconds. It's like, okay, it probably came down to like 5 minutes and you're being dramatic just to, you know, give suspense. But yeah, Emerald wins this one again. So, I mean, there's some stuff to talk about in the challenge, but again, just kind of hard to be excited about a challenge when you know what's going to happen at the start.
I will say I'm glad that we got like the shot clock on the screen for the first time in what feels like 30 seasons. I feel like for so long we have not been told how long is this taking place over, and like that added a little bit of like, oh, this is more difficult, because I would have assumed this happened in 3 minutes had we not had the timer at the bottom showing that it was taking at least 15.
Yeah. So as far as the you know, the each leg goes. The first team was Emerald, and obviously they're going to be our winners here. They talked a little bit on the after show about this as well, that like every challenge that they've done since forming these teams, Devin has been the one that kind of leads the charge, and they all just kind of follow along because he's really good at coming up with the plan for each of these challenges. So Anna, I can't imagine that's much of a surprise. This guy like lives and breathes strategy of challenges.
Yeah, Devin is wildly annoying as well, I find, but
any Devin
was
thirst
Ashley who was like, has Devin and everyone, no the Devin thirst doesn't work for me, because I feel like Devin's like the guy at the bar who's like negging on you the whole night. What was that guy's name who wore the hat who like used to tell you how to pick up girls? You know what I'm talking about?
The pickup artist guy.
Yeah, I think so. Who would be like, just be kind of like mean to them and insult them, and then they're gonna be into it.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but that is, like, I saw the full picture when you started describing Devin that way. Like, flashbacks to his Are You the One season were really vivid.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that, but I'm like, yeah, Devin doesn't do it for me. He's not, like, hot enough to be that big of a dick, I guess. Sorry, Devin.
Catch his OnlyFans. Probably still super expensive, if anybody is into what? Devin that way.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. It's like a lot
What's
of money.
Super expensive.
I think generally the lowest price that he had it at was around 30 a month.
For what?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, like what's he doing on there?
Probably not $30 worth of content, but
yeah, no.
I don't know.
I'm gonna go ahead and say definitely not $30 worth of content.
Devin, you're overpriced.
Yeah, Nelson on the other hand, I don't know what he's charging, but never mind.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
We'll talk about
it. Oh, it's a thing.
Again, this podcast would be just like this if Anna wasn't here. So Sapphire is going to go second. Emmy wants to win for her uncle, which, you know, I know people are probably getting sick of hearing this. So, you know, whatever. And then we get a great line here as Ashley there before the challenge starts, where Ashley's like, you know, just giving her pump up speech to the camera. And she's like, I really think we need to win this one, because as much as I hate him, talking about Kyle, I really want him on the team. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if we lose today. And Kyle's like, it took a second for it to click in. But when it did click in, it was a great moment.
Yeah,
I
really
love
funny.
Kyle.
I feel like they're a good duo that we don't really get on screen that much. I feel like they could play off of each other pretty well. Kyle and Ashley are both like two of the funnier challengers we have, and it's a shame we don't get more scenes of them.
Well, we got a little bit of it in this challenge where Ashley was like pushing Kyle like to swim down farther and farther, and he wasn't doing it as well as she would have hoped. And he gives us that confessional about she really thinks I'm like some fish boy, that I have gills and I just don't need oxygen to survive. But that's not the case. So I'm sorry, Ashley. There's not much I can do for you.
Oh, some kind of fish boy is how I meant to introduce myself today. So really disappointing.
We could start over if you want. Ready? Let's let's go from the beginning.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here as a fish boy. All right.
Some kind of fish boy.
Some kind of fish boy.
Get the wand off going. There's a Chainsmokers song called Sick Boy, and we can just replace it with Fish Boy. Oh, I am the fish boy.
Fish boy.
They say that I am the fish boy. Yeah, they call me the fish boy. Good song.
There we go.
a lot of highlighting here about Ashley being bossy and arguing. Emmanuel's like, she's gonna lose air, not from the water, from yelling at her team, which I guess fair enough. And obviously we're not going to get a win from them here, but CT is still feeling okay. He's like, we have potential here. We just need to work out some kinks. Like, okay, sure. Optimism, you're allowed.
But, yeah, like, allegedly, because supposedly he wasn't so optimistic this week in how things really played out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we got a little bit of that on the show, but not much.
Yeah.
That when he said he had challenge blues, like, what did that mean?
Yeah, so allegedly, so that's exactly in the deliberation where CT's talking about how he has challenge blues and he's snapping out of it. Supposedly, he was really not feeling it, was thinking about home. Actually went so far as asked to being thrown into the elimination and would have gone ahead and switched over to Emerald if he had won. So I don't know like what strategy and what's not from CT anymore at this point, but yeah, seemed like he was not actually so confident in his team as he might be portraying on the show.
Yeah, when he gets to the deliberation later on and he's, you know, making those comments about, you know, I had moments of weakness and this is now how I feel. I was a little confused, but I think more of it was explained, I don't know, in some bonus content. And so everything Scally just said, it seemed to be, you know, what was going on behind the scenes, but I don't know. They just are going to keep CT with his usual small commentating on his way to another win. So we'll see how it goes. Ruby is going to go up last and, you know, see if they can pull this off. They, have Logan, who's apparently a great swimmer. So that's good. And I don't know, we get confessionals from Devin talking about how he really doesn't want Ruby to win. That's five wild cards. Nobody has any idea what they're going to do. But of course the highlight of this ends up being where Amanda is going to, not be the most active participant in this challenge. Apparently Logan told her to kind of do what she was doing and everybody else was also kind of pushing her to the side, but then when she took that very seriously and very literally and decided to just completely not get involved at all, everybody got mad at her. So, you know, who can win this one, Scally?
So I know Amanda now claims that she actually struck a deal that she would throw the challenge so that they would vote in Corey because she knew that that would mean Nelson was safe because Corey would never pick Nelson. I don't know what's true and what's not. I probably believe it knowing Amanda, but I don't know if this was even necessary. Like, hey, you don't have to play it up that much. And also, like, is having Corey go home the best thing for Nelson's game at this point? So questionable decisions by Amanda here.
I am going down her tweets right now. Any thoughts on this?
Are Nelson and Amanda working together?
Well, Nelson and Amanda were on the same Are You the One season. They came onto the challenge initially as a pair. So they've been close in that, like, since then. They were originally, like, butted heads a little bit. But they, like, have so much history at this point that they are, you know, kind of like a brother-sister relationship. It doesn't seem to have played out super well on this episode. But I would definitely say, like, coming in on a season, if Nelson and Amanda are there, I would expect them to be working pretty closely together.
Yeah, and Nelson's birthday was, I think, yesterday, the day of the episode, and Amanda put up a happy birthday post for him. And, you know, we see a lot in this episode with the two of them and their relationship not going the greatest, but it does feel like, you know, things are fine overall on the outside.
I would assume so.
If anything, the animosity exists from Amanda to Corey, which we can get into as we get back to Corey in a little bit. But I'm going to, okay, so maybe we'll just incorporate the Amanda tweets in as we go. So we already talked about this, like we're past this part of the podcast, but the first tweet from the episode for her was Emmanuel likes jumping on pigs. Makes sense. LOLOL.
Oh no. I knew where this was going as soon as you started reading it.
The next one is donut hating fucking losers. Unhappiness at its finest.
I like her.
This one's not that funny. Fun fact, I didn't jump for a long time because capital F-U-C-K them. embracing my inner Rose. Titanic, baby. She retweeted Ashley, who said, Amanda's ass looks so good. Fuck you, Ruby Dooby Doo, she said.
Amanda's definitely on one.
All right, we'll get back to the Amanda tweets in a little bit.
Wow.
So yeah, Ruby did not do too well. Overall, it did seem like, according to TJ, that they did well, but did not end up winning. So that's the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, if you just have four people competing against six, like every cast member on the show is talking about how, like, yeah, we had four people doing the job of six. Like, how are we ever going to win? So, like, when they know that it's a, like, foregone conclusion, I don't even blame Amanda for, like, being like, I'll throw the challenge because we're going to lose anyway. So, whatever.
Right. So the rest of the episode, before we get to the deliberation itself, we're going to see a lot of the Emerald team not exactly knowing what they want to do here. It seems like the obvious move would be to put Logan in because he's the only remaining rookie, and they're still somewhat in on the Vet Alliance here. So that would be the obvious move, but Josh does not want Logan to be going in. So they're not exactly 100% positive what they're going to do yet. So we'll get back to that. But the chat we're going to get when they go out at night is going to be between Corey and Josh, where Corey is really sensing that there could be some trouble here for him. But there's not much he can do about it besides pump up Josh's ego, Anna, and talk to him about, oh, you're in such a great position, and I know how hard you work at this, and I'm so happy for you. Did you, like, think any of this was genuine, or was it just him trying to butter Josh up?
I honestly couldn't pay attention past the challenge bucket hat that he was wearing.
I agree. Allie Lasher talked about how she tried to find it on the MTV store thing, and they didn't have it, and I'm upset to hear that, because I'd buy one, too.
Oh, yeah. But no, I actually, like, I don't remember this part, to be honest, other than that.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot happening, but it was just Corey, you know, making his case, which he's going to do again when we get to the deliberation. But I don't know. Anything here, Scally?
Honestly, I didn't remember it on the first watch either. It took until the second for it to stand out to me. Mostly I'm just confused. Like, should Josh even be lying to Corey at this point? Should he just be telling him straight up, like, you're probably going in? Like, I hope you can, like, pick who you want to go against, or, like, I don't even know at this point. I don't feel like lying on the night out is even really a necessary or good move from Josh.
Well, do you think that there's any chance that it wasn't 100% Corey at this point, or you think it already was locked in for him at this time?
I feel like it's pretty locked in. I don't know if I believe, like, Devin tries to claim later that this is all Josh. He's not, like, he's trying to steer it away from this, and I do kind of feel like Josh is the best setup on this team.
100%. Like, there's not even a question about it. Like, if Devin had wanted to get the vote to go in a different direction, he would not have been able to. The core of this team is Josh, Casey, and Nani. And Devin's fully 100% attached to that, but the unbreakable part of this group right now, Josh, Casey, Nani. You have Emmanuel, who's probably the most on the out, but still is very much on the in because of his connection to Casey, and he's been working with Josh. And then, of course, this group could not have picked a better six people for them to be working together with, both in the challenges and politically. So, you know, they mesh really well together, but Josh is fully at the core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Josh is really in the driver's seat here, so I don't think that he needed to lie. Like, maybe he wanted to have the conversation with Casey ahead of time, because I think Casey probably is the other one who, maybe not as loud, but she is generally in a driving seat from what we've seen on the show. So
definitely not as loud,
that is for sure. But I just feel like it only can come back to bite you. I feel like Corey was so bitter, and I think part of that is continuing to lie beyond the point that it's necessary.
Anna, what are your takes on Nani and Casey?
I think, like, they're adorable as a couple. I think I always, like, have liked Nani. She lived in Chicago for a while, so, like, have a soft spot for her there. And like, Casey is very good at the challenge. She's just, like, not that interesting.
You don't say. Quick thoughts, by the way, going out to Nani, who did lose her mother in the past week. So that was devastating to read. I think it was they were at the reunion, and I don't know. I have no idea if they left early or what, but it seemed like after things had wrapped up is when I saw the post. Nani unfortunately lost her mother in the past week. So again, thoughts going out to her and her family. You know, devastating. It does seem like, you know, no surprise, but Casey's right by her side, and I think Nani put up, like, an appreciation post saying, like, you know, she just so appreciates having Casey by her side for all this. So, you know, they're still very much going strong, and you know, glad that they have each other in a moment where Nani really needs some love and support. So that's that. And we can bounce over to the other side of the bar if we want, Scally, for the Ruby team meeting.
This Ruby team meeting is such a hot mess. I don't even know what they were trying to accomplish, to be honest.
They were trying to accomplish Nelson and Corey yelling at people.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's not productive. General, it feels so stupid that because of, I guess, a time restriction, they're kind of forced to have these meetings, like, at the bar. And so while we're getting, like, wow, fun bar scenes, really, it's just, like, backward strategy talk that ends up generally not mattering. So they're not always the best, but yeah, Corey and Nelson can, just give it up. It's not happening. Team, stop trying to make Team Ruby happen.
Ruby.
Ruby. Yeah. I mean, I would probably lose my mind if I had Corey talking down to me too, if I was Amanda, like,
like,
what a joke.
Amanda fully did not want to be at this meeting. She showed up late saying, I forgot what team I was on, you know, silly me. and then he starts this little meeting by saying how bad Amanda was at the challenge, and Amanda was very much not about to sit here and listen to him go off like that. So she was like trying to get up right away, but then eventually, you know, a little bit into the conversation. And you know, she gets up eventually. She's like, you guys sucked before and you suck now. Like, Nelson, you were terrible today. Corey, you were terrible today. So like, you can't just blame me just because you have a new person on your team that you're trying to blame instead. So, you know, and it, she, you know, it's definitely easy to blame her when she was not participating, but she has a very valid point in that they were terrible before. It doesn't make much of a difference now. Like, I don't know. Again, maybe I'll just continue to offending Amanda till my dying breath. I'm sure I will. But this is, you know, again, not a good look for Nelson and Corey, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, like I said, I feel like there was probably a little more to it that was edited out.
Like what?
Just with him apologizing to Amanda and Big T. So, like, there was probably some... you know, Big T put downs and stuff like that. If not here, then elsewhere. So
yeah, we're getting into a recurring cycle of Nelson getting into arguments and then apologizing. Like, I don't know, it's, I guess by the end of the episode, he does, like, it really well.
And that's the thing, is his apologies do come off genuine. Like, I think that he really does mean it when he's like, I shouldn't have done that, and I fully acknowledge it. But like, you do it every time. At a certain point, like, you need to learn the lesson. So
no,
like,
I think he's just dumb.
Yeah, and that's what it is like, people can make mistakes and, like, I don't want to say, like, atone for them, but, like, at a certain point, I am writing you off when it's the fifth time that it happened to me.
yeah
so when we get to the,
he's hopeless.
We get to the deliberation, and we're going to see that, again, Emerald still doesn't really know what they're going to do. There's five options on the table. They haven't been able to come to an agreement, which basically I generally do believe what Devin's saying there, because I get the idea that, like, Devin and Tori probably were wanting to push for, let's just make it Logan. That's the easy pick here, and not upsetting the apple cart. Tori especially said, like, on the podcast or something, she's like, I was trying to keep the vet thing going, which is probably a good idea for her, because I think she knows that keeping that vet truce is, like, her best path to continuing to make it farther into the game, which she hasn't done in a while. I think Ashley's of the same mindset. So no surprise there, but Josh was definitely pushing for Logan to be safe, and the numbers are going to be on his side no matter what. There, at least half of the votes are going to be locked up in Josh's favor. So all of the guys, Scally, are going to go around and kind of plead their case, as has been happening lately.
Yeah, so we already talked about CT's argument. He references, like, the blue fire, which I guess is, like, the Sapphire and Emerald alliance that we've heard a little bit about. It's weird to have, like, apparently there's been kind of a, like, truce between the two teams, where it has seemed in general the Ruby team has been the ones getting voted out. At least I would say the vets on the two teams have been more closely aligned. It's weird though when, like, the teams can switch every week. So even, like, is Kyle out of the alliance now? It's just like, it's over and done with. If you go in next week, too bad, buddy. But yeah, I'm assuming that that was a reference to that. I feel like CT really should be an option more than he seems to be on the episode. But I don't know that this speech, like, had they decided, you know what, we're going through with it anyway, was anything that was going to actually save them.
Yeah, CT definitely should have been an option. I mean, that goes without saying. But also, Is there a possibility that CT does what Corey said he was going to do? And if CT gets turned on by the Emerald team here and gets voted in, does he win elimination, come, you know, infiltrate on the Emerald cell and make sure that they lose so he can get some revenge on them for throwing him in? Because you don't want that.
I don't know. I feel like at a certain point, like, you got to take the shot or you don't. And also, if he does throw the challenge, like, is he definitely getting voted? I don't know. It's like a weird looking forward that I haven't really done the math on, to be honest.
Yeah. So
I still think it's probably worth it. I don't know. Because you don't know that we're running the final in these teams. You don't know. I feel like you got to let him take his chance. And if he goes against, I don't know, you're going against Logan, especially when you see the eliminator. I don't know. It's not great overall. Yeah. There's not really a great option.
Yeah. Anna, what did you make of Corey's last efforts here to potentially not get thrown in? Like, it did seem like the writing was on the walls again because of the whole Josh thing. And he gets annoyed. Corey's like vocally annoyed with all of them. He's like, there's literally a rookie right over here. Like, do you see it? Like, Logan, he's not been here before. We have an alliance, all of us, and Logan is not in that alliance. So I don't know why this is so complicated. And then when Corey gets voted in, he's like, or him and Nelson are both like, what just happened here? Like, Logan is right there.
I know. I fully like thought that Logan was going to go in. And I think that that was just because I was noticing like how much screen time he was getting. And obviously he ends up going in, but not like via the vote. So I don't know. It never even occurred to me that you could join somebody else's team and then throw it. And then like, clearly I'm not a strategist at all, but like, wild idea. Is that something they're even worried about? Because then I was confused like when the Logan and Corey were talking, they're like, I'm gonna come back to Ruby. I thought, like, why wouldn't they say they were gonna go to Emerald like Amanda did to try and stay out of elimination?
And that's where, like, I thought Logan did actually a pretty bad job campaigning, where he's like, I'm going to come to Ruby, I'm staying on Ruby. And it was like, oh, maybe, like, you're going to actually talk yourself into elimination.
I was confused by that.
Yeah, whereas I think Corey's best argument actually came from Kyle, where Kyle's like, if I go in, everyone's up for grabs, I'm screwing every one of you over that I can. And Corey basically like, yeah, the same exact thing that Kyle said. That's my thing. So that's the route you want to take. I know that like you don't want to torch all of your relationships just for one deliberation, but I feel like you need to have the hard line.
We're back here for another check on Amanda's tweets as we are further into the episode. She said, I'm dying at me arguing with Nelson at the club. Go down and switch teams. How about that? Ha 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 ha. She also mentioned what Scally talked about earlier, that she had that conversation with Josh and Devin saying that she would throw it to keep them safe if they promised they'd put in Corey, because I knew that that would make Nelson automatically safe. So you're welcome at Nelson Thomas. How's that for toxic? I also wanted Corey put in and sent home because he does nothing but fuck up Nelson's game. Go down there and let's see how good you really are, boy. Haha. If anyone believes they will stay on Ruby, they are in fact as dumb as they look. The one that I will pause here on for now is, Corey, shut up. You never had the vets backs, you fucking rookie wrangler.
Oh,
which, I guess continues the thread of, you know, people thinking that Corey was trying to play a kind of a West game and round up all the rookies to kind of work with, which kind of was doing it. We saw, you know, at one point he was in a room with all the rookies that I guess he had kind of recruited to be on his team a little bit. Ashley replied to that Amanda tweet saying, Amanda, get off his back a little bit. You know, my family loves Corey.
It's just the thing where I feel like everyone kind of fought for their rookies to be the last rookies. You know, like Fessy was protecting Esther, Manuel's still here because of Casey, like Logan has made pretty decent relations with Josh and like, I don't know, Monty or whatever. So like, whatever. Like, who is he even close at this point? But like, especially Josh, you know, any rookie, Emmy has made like relations with like, you know, that side of the house. So it's not by coincidence that the rookies that are left either. So they all did it just better.
Mm-hmm. And when they get back to the house, this is going to continue playing out. Corey's all fired up because, you know, of what just happened. So he's going to get at it a little bit with Devin, who does try to, I guess, tell him that, like, this is Josh, not me. Like, don't be mad at me. But Corey doesn't want to hear it from anybody. He goes and finds Josh, and the two of them get into it about how Josh is, you know, screwing over all of his friends. First Fessy, now Corey. And, you know, this is, I guess, the price that Josh is going to have to pay for, you know, playing. I hate to keep saying this, but such a good game. So, you know, that's just where we're at, Anna.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked by how much I'm liking Josh. Like I said, it's freaking me out. But we'll see. I'm sure he'll do something annoying soon.
That's my worry. Because it was weird. I thought Corey is, like, blaming Josh, where he's like, you screwed over me. You're screwing over me. You screwed over Fessy. Like, that you did this. And it's like, acting like what Josh... like what happened with Josh and Fessy was like a big elaborate plan by Josh to really screw him over, and Josh doesn't fight against that, which I don't know if it's just kind of being like, okay you're going in, okay but thought that was weird. But I agree, I'm also just waiting for Josh to do something stupid, because I'm like, do I stand Josh? And that's worrisome for that to be.
I know. Wait, like, are Josh approaching. And Fessy friends again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're definitely
good. Oh, good.
The best of friends.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Josh. Maybe he's, like, learning. I don't know. He's Wouldn't still, like, such, like, a goof.
I also feel like...
Give me the goof.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that.
I feel like we have talked about a little bit how Josh's position on the show was a little in doubt for a couple seasons, where he was an alternate who ended up making it on once or twice at least. So I think he was kind of on that bubble and knew it, and maybe is not on that bubble anymore, and thus does not have to feel insecure and also maybe play up certain parts of his personality. I think he's generally pretty authentic, but I think feeling more secure coming with like age and having friends and being less on the casting bubble probably has led to the Josh that we're seeing now. Maybe it's just editing, who knows.
Yeah, I don't even remember where this was, but it was like a comment, I think, on maybe it was like an MTV, like the challenge, like it was from an official challenge account, and the caption said something like where to next. I don't even know what it was commenting on, but then Josh replied, wherever you take us. And it was just like, this man is so comfortable here, like he knows he's not going anywhere, and at this point it's hard to blame him. So
I mean, who else is coming back? Like, it's
so Josh, here's the thing. Here's the thing on that topic, to cut ahead and as well, Corey is going to go home in this episode, and on the aftermath, he talks about he's taking next season off. He said taking a little bit of a break. So there's one vet that won't be back as of now.
Yeah.
Do you think he like wasn't like, maybe they're having some like rules and regulations of things that need to be done for you to come back next season? Like, isn't he
that? Was exactly my thought.
There's certainly that possibility, but whatever it is, I'm just happy that we have one confirmed veteran that will not be back from this cast, because I was, as I have said, expecting it to be all of them.
I'll miss his shoulders and his veneers, but it'll be okay.
All of the upper half.
I was watching him talking about how, like, oh, in the elimination, I got a little distracted and was thinking about my family, and like, that's why I'm taking time off. And I was like, oh, look who just found out that there's a vaccine requirement. So
exactly.
Not sure that that's the case, and that is leading to his decision, but it really made my mind wander for sure.
So you know, this elimination that we're about to get to, unless Scal, you have anything else, is going to be the last time we see Corey for at least one season. Anything else before the elimination?
Nope. Ready for the elimination.
All right.
Pass. Yeah.
Guys, I watch Pass as well. Mom and I cry every week, so it's fine.
Oh, good.
I can't wait till the Dom and Colin podcast starts covering a third show, and it's Teen Mom starring host Anna.
Please. That may get me to watch. Nothing
then I'll watch. this elimination does
host it with me.
All right, I feel like this could happen. Stay tuned.
This elimination does come to surprise them a little bit because it looks like something they hadn't seen. I fully thought that we were going to see them going inside this cage, you know, this giant ball that's glowing, and do something in there. I don't know what I was expecting, but then once the second one popped up on the screen, then I was thinking maybe they were both going to get inside them and, you know, do the, like the thing where you like get spun around. I didn't really know how this was going to go.
Like a hamster wheel.
Yeah, that.
like what they have at Space Camp.
So I was ultimately disappointed with the elimination because it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But Scally, lead us in on this.
All right. So we know that Corey is going down, but Corey decides that he's actually going to call down Logan, to which I don't feel like was super surprising given that we knew about Logan's injury. It's been flagged up a couple times on the show, but some added context came up on the official challenge podcast, where it turns out Kyle actually went up to Corey and said, like, oh, is Logan trying to make any deals with you to stay out of elimination? Because he's coming up to me and making deals to come out, stay out of elimination. And so maybe influenced the decision for Corey, thinking that Logan was going around and making like some shady deals. But, you know, that's Kyle. He's, don't trust him.
Yeah, the Logan pick, I mean, it's not too surprising. I was gonna say unsurprising. You know, it's the rookie. It's not CT. I get that he was like, you know, contemplating, I guess, like everybody's contemplating wanting to be the one to take CT out and have your big JP moment that he didn't have. But at a certain point, it's just go with the guy that's injured. Go with the guy that's, you know, the least experienced here, even though Logan is definitely bigger than Corey. So I don't know what exactly, you know, his best option was. They were all pretty big. What if you picked Nelson? That would have been fun.
No way.
He tried to make that terrible joke that he was going to pick Nelson just to like crickets from right. The crowd.
He goes, TJ, I told Nelson he's safe. And everyone's like, what? You told Nelson? Like, no. You, like, no shit. Like, whatever. It's like if Boston Rob and Amber had went to tribal council together last you know season of Survivor, and Jeff, listen, I'm not going to vote out Amber tonight. Okay, buddy.
Exactly the same.
All right, sounds good.
We were bordering on there, but I will
love
say,
story of a franchise, Nelson and Corey.
It's better than many of the others that they've tried to present to us. To be fair,
that's true.
So Logan, the surfer, is gonna end up winning this round winning this elimination in two quick rounds, Anna. It just didn't seem like Corey was ever really gaining any ground on him.
Yeah. Who else like was concerned about them getting burnt? Like the fire on the side of the ball seemed like they could have just fallen and burnt themselves when they fell off.
Well, considering the fire went out by the time that they were like a couple minutes into the challenge, I guess I wasn't the most concerned. Like they had the rope.
I saw them like light up the base of the balls, and I was like, well, what if they fall over there?
Yeah, like the rope had been set on fire, and then, you know, they're both whipping it all around. The fire goes out, and then, you know, eventually Corey's going to fall, and then they reset the fire. But I don't know. I guess you just have to trust in the producers that they're not actually going to set their contestants on fire, but you never know.
See, I actually liked this elimination in general. I thought it looked cool. I thought it was a good twist on like just a regular tug of war. They've done stuff like this in the past, usually standing on a platform, but I thought that the spherical surface was like an interesting dynamic that hasn't been played out before. But they were so high, there was a point where like if Corey had fallen, I was like, he's gonna break his neck. Like, what is going on? Not ideal from that perspective. Maybe should not injure your contestants as consistently as you do. Challenge.
Yeah, when he like started slipping down the giant red ball, I was like, okay, good. At least he's gonna go down like it's a slide.
Yep, exactly. Just look safe. A safe way to dismount. Thank
yeah.
You.
Amanda gets a great confessional here, being like, this is literally how Corey works out all the time, which, like, if you follow him on any social media, yeah, you've seen him with two ropes in his hand, you know, with whatever that workout is called. Kind of funny that he's having a hard time with this one, but after he loses the first round, you can see the wind is completely, you know, taken out of his sails. He's just not in it for the second one as much as, you know, which is like a common thing. You lose round one, it's easy to get discouraged, especially when I think Corey said that first round went like 20 minutes or so, if not more. So,
oh my God, really? Yeah.
So,
And a good reminder of Corey only having one ACL, like one good ACL on him. So, definitely tough.
And Logan has like one working leg. So,
that is true. It seems like a fair matchup given.
Corey does not win this elimination, gets sent off into the not sunset, the moonlight, by TJ, and, on his way out, gives Nelson a hug and kiss and says to go in.
Aww. Yeah. Man, guys, Logan is just so hot. Like, he looks so hot this entire time.
Like, sure. It's not just the fire.
That helps, but like, I just felt like it was really highlighting like his traps and his shoulders. And then when he was like so cool and pulled it when Corey like took his hand off, I was like, ah, here we go.
Anna literally just said, it's so great that we're done talking about the game and the strategy so that we can talk about how hot the guys are again. Thank God.
No, I just feel like we really skipped it. Like, like, not to completely objectify them, but like, you know, like the lighting, everything. I was like, wow, like, we're really like, this is a great, like, if upper body is like your spot, this is a great challenge for it.
So that's where we are here. I guess we're not done yet. We still have a decision from Logan to decide which part of his body he wants to highlight next in the next elimination. What team he's going to pick. And he's going to decide to not go back to Ruby. He's going to switch teams and join the Sapphire Cell. Scally?
Just feels like a half measure. Like, why? Why go to Sapphire and not Emerald? I agree with not sticking with Ruby. Especially now that they're even one more member down, having lost Corey. So I get it, but you're just shifting to another four-person team that's also not going to win next week's challenge, and then you're probably going to be voted or picked to go in. So,
So now, is Logan going to make that team any better? CT is working on the chemistry between all of them, and now he gained a different factor he wasn't totally expecting, so we'll see how that goes with them. I don't know.
They seemed excited. Like, I feel like, was it CT even, or people were talking about it, like, oh, like, the Sapphire team just got stronger. It was like, oh, did it? Like, okay. I don't know about that. I feel like CT is going to be in even more of a hurry to get away from the team with a guy with a leg injury.
Also, like, Logan's story this episode was about how he has a hard time understanding people in the house and in the game, and now he's on a team with the guy in the house that is the most impossible to understand what he's saying at any given time, and Ashley, who speaks in yelling. So, you know, I don't know how this team chemistry is going to go, but it'll be fun to watch.
Ruby's quickly becoming a very fun team.
You know, Logan, you just got to put the puzzle together. You're just going to grab the pieces. You're going to run around the thing. He's going to be like, CT, I need you to open your mouth.
If I could select any one team to win the final at this point, I would hands down pick Ruby, I will say.
Oh, Amanda, really? Kyle. Oh, Big Tita. Okay, that's why.
Big T and Nelson. Done. Like, sign me up. I'm ready for that team to win.
Yeah. This is tough. You're making me choose between Amanda and Ashley, but Amanda and Big T on Sapphire. One team together, I'll go with that one. I agree. Okay, yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm going Sapphire. Sorry, guys.
Ooh.
That's also a fair choice. Screw Emerald.
Yeah.
Honestly, they might be second for me.
Really?
Is this like anti-Emmy or like...
Yeah, like
CT's lost me. Emmy's lost me. Logan, like, appreciating, but he's like fine. And Ashley, like, I love, but it's not
she's
been
fine.
The number one Ashley season in her run. So overall, I am, the third is respectable.
I'm all for Ashley getting more wins, but I'm also all for like new winners at a certain
point.
But
then we have to hear about Devin winning.
Yeah. Like, there's a couple people on Emerald that, like, I have strongly rooted in their entire challenge career for them to never win a single daily, let alone a final. And now I'm like, yeah, they could win. So I think that I would hate it and would regret my life decisions. But that's where I stand now. I'm sorry.
Do we think they're going to run in teams like this?
I really don't. Scally has less faith in this whole situation from, you know, I don't know.
Well, how many more episodes do we have?
Also don't know. I think this is episode 13, and I want to say we're going to 19, so we're definitely getting closer. And the way that they talk about it in the house, like, as of this episode, is like, we're getting there, but we have to keep our heads in the game. Like, it sounds like they know that they're leaving soon for a final, whether that's, like, next week, the week after, or the week after. It does seem like we're getting there.
Yeah. They seem to feel like it's so close. I don't feel like it's as close, and that's part of why I thought, like, okay, we're going to continue to narrow down, and then we'll split back up, and then we'll run in teams. But them feeling like it's so close, and we need to be on the best team, and we need to, is making me start to think that they seem a lot more sure than I am. So I'll go with what they think.
There's 14 left, if I just counted that correctly. You only, you know, you pretty much need to get to 10 to start the final. And, you know, in these seasons lately, they can probably imagine a purge at some point. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're, you know, wrong to think that they're too far off. As far as like filming goes, they're probably like past like three quarters into, you know, the time that they know that they're going to be out there for. So, again, does feel like it's getting closer, but who knows? We'll find out.
Wow. I can't wait for the final to be 6 Emerald versus 2 Sapphire and 2 Ruby. Like, scary. Oh,
hate that.
Uh-oh. I hope Logan's there still.
Anna, can you believe how great Colin's doing in the draft this year?
He's losing, right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's just
I'm still
scary.
Mad at Colin for pretending like he didn't know who Justin Bieber was. So, like, we're fine. We're fighting.
Honestly, Bieber might have gotten him more points than half of the people on this team. It's insane.
Yeah, who's winning? You are, right, Matt?
I am. And at this point, it's just like, the thing is that, like, nobody in this draft, probably both of us included, care, I guess, enough about the points to, like, do something about the fact that, like, it never seems to flow properly. Like, when the format of the season changed, the points probably should have changed, because since Emerald has won like 4 weeks in a row now, Casey, Emmanuel, and Josh points have just been skyrocketing me to an even bigger lead, and it does feel at a certain point almost insurmountable. So I'm not complaining about that, but as far as like the points go, it's just, you know, it's interesting.
Not ideal. It's not ideal.
I have a lot of people left.
Yeah, can I just like have Amanda? She probably has 0 points.
She does have 0 points, but you can't have her. You do have her in a way where in the must lose draft, which this week we just flipped what happened last week, where Brian and Allie last week lost a point. This week they gained a point. Last week we gained a point, and this week we lost a point. So that's the update on that draft. But we do, you know, our collective team has Amanda in that one, if that counts.
All right. Well, I guess that counts.
So you want to take like a quick look at this draft of the must lose one, because that one's you know, a little bit more interesting to me right now. The people that you and I are rooting for to lose so that we can continue to gain points in that one: Logan and Devin, Tori and Ashley from your team, and then I have Amanda and CT. Ooh, we need them all to lose.
You've done a great job of picking losers so far. I don't think we need to worry about Amanda winning the season with how it's been presented. CT is always live, but in general, I feel like we have people who aren't super likely to be winning this final in particular.
Yeah, and not just like winning the final, but like making it to the final, which you get points for. I feel like of Amanda and Ashley, I have a hard time seeing them both get there. If any. So there's that. Logan still kind of on the outs of all of this. Josh can't protect him forever, so, you know, maybe we lose him along the way. Devin, I don't know. Devin, Tori, CT, yeah. So those are
Devin and Tori, I'm worried about if it's a team final. But if it's not a team final, then I'm a lot less worried about our prospects.
Yeah. Maybe next season we'll just do a an all coitus draft with Haley, of course, needs to be there, and we'll bring Anna in.
There we go.
Please, I'm in.
So that's something to look forward to.
I'm into it.
If nothing else.
I think that's a good idea.
All right. Off-season content. Put it in the books.
Scally, did we miss anything this week?
Well, we do have one more piece of information from the outside, but I'm all done with the episode, if that's what you mean.
I guess. It's not ringing a bell. What else do we
from
have?
From the outside.
From the outside?
All right. From the outside. Now, Anna, I don't know if you know this. Ligori, you do, but this happened pretty much like right after we finished recording last week, if not like the day after. It was revealed that for the fourth season in a row, someone found out they were pregnant during filming.
What?
Yep. So, Bettina.
How did this keep happening?
How? Every season at this point, Bettina made an Instagram post. Oh,
Bettina?
Yep.
Okay, but in actuality, like, I'm assuming they have to get STD tested like you do, like, when you go on The Bachelor or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, I think that might be.
You have to get COVID tested. Like, why would they not just have to get pregnancy tested?
I think any testing might be quite the assumption at this point on the challenge.
apparently.
Yeah, so Bettina put an Instagram post out talking about how when she got home, she found out that she was, I think, 15 weeks pregnant and decided to have an abortion. So, like, super, like, open post from Bettina there, sharing a lot of her experience off of the show that she didn't necessarily have to share. So,
That's awesome. Good for her for being so open.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I applaud her on that, especially if it gets the show to change anything in the future, which who knows if it will, because it's happened now 5 times in the last 4 seasons and still hasn't
That's
been a
choice. Unreal. Mm-hmm. That's unreal.
So allegedly, I don't know where I heard this, someone was talking about how they are pregnancy tested, but like 2 months before the show. So like, what? Like, that doesn't mean anything. There should be a test, like, of that pregnancy test and when they arrive, and like a week and a half, and like test throughout the season, because I've seen what's going on in the bathrooms. Like, we can't be too sure.
Yeah, I mean, 15 weeks is kind of a long time to be pregnant.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot going on there. I mean, geez Louise, I don't understand how that keeps happening. That seems.
And how do they keep like getting away with this? Wildly, like, everyone, like it just happens again. Yeah, it just happens again and again, and then it's like, oh, how did that happen again? And then, like, it happens again, and then it's like, again? And then it's like, yeah, no, it's probably going to happen again. Like, they just don't...
I remember watching, because I have been watching the show for way too many years, and I remember how many times, like, on The Real World, or, like, a couple times on The Challenge, there was, like, a pregnancy scare, and it was like, imagine if someone got pregnant on The Real World. How wild would that be? It's like, on The Real World, they're living in a house where they're not having headbangers constantly and jumping into Arctic freezing water and sleeping outside, like, in glaciers. And yet, on The Challenge, it's just like, oh, this is a regular occurrence that happens. Like, it was scandalized years ago of, like, how... what if it possibly happened? How horrible and like controversial that would be. And now it's like they don't even do anything to make sure that they're catching this.
Right. Like, I'm like no expert in, you know, the process of how things work once you find out you're pregnant. But I think it usually involves some trips to like the doctor to make sure like some health checks and stuff like that, make sure everything's all good. And there's no way that that's happening when you're, you know, a long ways or even a little ways into your pregnancy. And you're, like you said, Scally, like being thrown into water from high heights. So
exactly,
it's wild.
Think of how many, like, if you rewatch the last 4 seasons and like watch the women specifically who were pregnant and how many like physical challenges and eliminations they go into that would definitely not be advised for a pregnant woman, terrifying, just so bad.
Who was it last season? Who was
last season?
I was gonna say, I don't remember who else has been pregnant.
So last season was the reason why Natalie Anderson left the show, as well as Liv found out postseason. The season before was Melissa, who ended up actually having her baby shortly after she ran the final in the Arctic cold.
Yeah.
And then the season before that was Faith, who left the show by her own choice otherwise. But it's not the reason why she left the show, but supposedly did find out that she was pregnant during filming as well.
Truly wild. And yeah, I forgot that we hadn't talked about this yet because, like you said, it was like right at the end of, it was like right after last week's recording. So, yeah, crazy time in this challenge world.
It's so frustrating because I'm sorry, I don't know what a pregnancy test costs, but like, well,
not
sound
that
like,
much money.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, you're going to like, do like the Lucille Bluth? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Banana?
Exactly. I was like, what does the pregnancy test cost? $400. Like, yeah, I don't know. But like, it's, you can pick it up around the corner. It's not that hard, guys. Like, we're doing much more difficult things. Stop buying all of the explosives for the challenge and start buying pregnancy tests for the house.
Yeah, like save the fire for literally one day. and let's use that money. I don't know. Yeah, so that's the update on that. And again, lots going on in the challenge world. So stay tuned to this very podcast, this very feed, and we will continue to keep you updated on anything else that that is happening. Anything else, Callie?
That is all I have now. Okay. For the challenge. We'll see what is sure to pop up by next week.
Anna, any updates that we have not gotten to?
No, I think we've gotten through all of my notes.
All right, well, I don't want to end this podcast because I don't want to end Casual Anna Week.
I'm having fun with you guys. We'll just do this off air more. I need to learn more about this.
Deal.
What's it called?
Oh, what a tease!
OnlyFans.
Wait, like about the people's OnlyFans or what OnlyFans is in general?
No. Like I know what OnlyFans is.
Okay. A little concerned for a second.
OnlyFans for like a minute because my friends and I followed this woman who believed that she was in a relationship with Michael Jackson's ghost.
Oh.
And then she started having an affair on him with Prince's ghost. It was incredible content, but it's since been deleted. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
But it was like $4.99 a month, and I absolutely paid for it.
So, I was going to say, add that to the Teen Mom podcast. Would listen.
So I'm going to be looking up if Logan has one, I guess. I'm just going to slide in the DM. We'll see.
There you go.
I have a Spanish tennis coach here, so maybe I should just ask him like what I should say. Ooh. What would get someone's attention.
What's the right approach? That's a good idea. I like it.
You got to be strategic.
Before we get out of here, last minute challenge things. I'm back to Amanda's tweets because I almost forgot to close out the Amanda tweets here. Scally, what do you think of this one? She says, they didn't show that Corey was possibly going to pick Kyle for elimination. Once me and Kyle heard that, we exposed Logan making sneaky deals with everyone, so Corey would def pick him instead. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, so we talked a tiny bit about this, but I guess Nelson ends up confronting Logan after they get back from this elimination, and it's very quickly exposed that that was not the truth. So not super surprising coming from Kyle and Amanda that this was made up.
That looking at Logan that he wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
She says, ha 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 ha, shit sandwich. She says, PSA, I won't be on any after shows after the last one I was on because I had to fly out for a family situation. I was booked for all of them, for everyone. So enjoy my boring ass fill-ins. Sawi. And I think that's the extent of the Amanda tweet. She says, can't wait for next week. Tune in. It's going to be good. I fuck shit up. It's what I do. Stay tuned. The devil is here to play, baby. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize she was, like, so messy.
That is Amanda. That is what we know of her. So this season has been quite the departure from that, I think, as, at least as far as the first half is concerned. So, you know, we were saying, I think me specifically saying that I don't feel like I had gotten 12 episodes of Amanda and Ashley content in the 12 episodes that we had gotten them for. And I guess Amanda was really just saving it all for the final stretch.
Yeah, and it's been on Twitter all along, so. You know, that's always available for anybody.
Definitely true.
All right, let's get out of here. And no, we're definitely not going to talk more off the podcast. You can't tell people that, guys. again, thank you, Anna, for joining us. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Is Colin going to be, what's his reaction going to be when we send him this?
He's gonna like text me like, "Oh, you didn't tell me." Oh, Colin.
Be like, well, if you knew who Justin Bieber was.
I'll just be like, I put it on my Instagram. Oh, you don't.
Oh, there we go. Where should people be following you, Anna?
Oh, right, my Instagram. It's just my name, Anna, AnnaKlemperer.
There you go.
Follow me and I'll follow you back. Logan, if you're listening.
He's listening.
He is definitely listening. He has tweeted at us telling he listens.
Yes.
I just started sweating. I hope that's not. I sometimes forget that other people hear this and I'm like, this is so mad.
Only our closest friends, so it's all good.
Thank God.
Scally, where can Logan or anybody else find you?
So I am on Twitter and TikTok at Brian_Scally. I think people should tell Anna to get both on TikTok and Twitter, two social medias that are greatly missing her presence. So I am on those two. I would say, you know, Twitter's the better one, but they're both decent.
I just feel like Anna's Twitter feed would be pretty empty of like tweets themselves, but when you go to her likes, it would be pictures of all of these challenge guys. Like,
this is so embarrassing.
That's where all of the Anna Twitter content would be. Like, the only time that you'd see her on the timeline is where it's like Anna liked and the tweet.
People are gonna think all I do in my life is like look at boys on challenge and not watch Survivor. But honestly, pretty accurate.
Follow me, anybody out there, or Logan on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Not, you know, actively on TikTok, so don't worry about that one. Just follow Scally twice instead. And I think that's all we have for this week. So thank you guys for checking this one out. We'll see you next week with episode 14 or whatever it is. So yeah, thanks for listening and take care, everybody.